Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce. This is your host, one of your hosts, the first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on the program, first is Greg in the Northern Bay Area. How are you, Greg?
Oh, I'm fan-freaking-tastic. How about yourself, Ozzy?
I am great! Raiders won! That's why I'm wearing the jersey! I mean, also, it's kind of stuff to do with what we're talking about today, but, I mean, come on, that was, I mean, yeah, it was the Browns, but it was a 5-2 Cleveland Browns team. So, but I'm excited. I apologize for the spike in volume. And also, Flesh Wound producer, Todrick. This is legal. Todrick?
I'm just trying to figure out how there's not, how there's more Todd than one Drew. Host. Because wouldn't that, you said one of the hosts. Isn't there just traditionally one host?
I mean,
if not,
traditionally.
If not, we'd be a panel.
I guess. But, it, you know, if we really had to break it down, I think it's more me and Greg are co-hosts and you are the Flesh Wound producer. It kind of, you know.
Whatever works.
I see it. Well, I mean, it doesn't really have to work per se. This is one of the stupid shows on the internet that, you know, we have out there for people to have fun. We watch, and what we watched was a film titled CB4. Now, Todd, this was a suggestion you had. Now, it's a self-described rapumentary. I love it. So when it first started out, it reminded me of Spinal Tap a little bit.
Yeah,
like the first 10-15 minutes kind of reminded me of Spinal Tap a little bit, but then it kind of veered off into its own direction and really made itself stand out, or rather it made itself different in its own way, and it was enjoyable. All it was fantastic. Well, how about your guys' opening thoughts?
I'll let Greg go first.
This is a movie I did not see before. It was the first time I...
Oh, look at that. You said did not see before.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh. Sorry. Yeah. Had to do it. It was a lot of fun. It definitely, like you said, had that same feel. But I did like the turns that it took. And just... another movie with an all-star cast of characters. Rest in peace, Phil Hartman.
And I apologize. Yeah. I didn't go over that cast, speaking of which, you had starring role Chris Rock as Albert / MC Gusto, Alan Payne as Euphrates and Dead Mike, and Deezer D as Otis / Stabmaster Arson in the primary roles, and Phil Hartman playing politician Virgil Robinson, which just... made everything so fun, and I agree with you. It was fun to see him.
You didn't say one of the most important characters, the introduction of a great comedic actor,
Charlie Murphy as Gusto.
It says introducing, yeah. Even though he had little bit parts in like Harlem Nights and Coming to America. If you look, but...
right, but most prominently in that movie, absolutely for sure. And in case anybody listening is not familiar, just a quick couple of lines. Pulled from IMDb is a guy makes a documentary of the rap band CB4 by following them. CB4 had gotten popular by stealing Gusto's name, background, and image, and he wants them dead. It's pretty much the bare bones meat of the film of what we're looking at.
I don't want to, I hope I'm not ruining a joke, but it's Gusto. I don't know if you're pulling a wielder thing.
Gusto?
Yeah.
I've had 8 hours. Over 10 hours of football.
No, that's fine.
Four
I just
hours
know,
of sleep because I just for me, like, I apologize. You know, like, Saturday nights for me are like Christmas Eve. So I'm not able to go to sleep. And I can sleep for like 3-4 hours before I get up and I'm excited for football. So that just ended. So my apologies, Gusto.
Gusto.
Gusto. You know what? You know what it is? Is because when I see that, it's in my Spanish mind, it's the U is goose, like gusto, right? So I think gusto. That's why in my head, but it is gusto. You're right, Todd. I apologize.
That's all.
Go
right.
on.
Oh, was I saying more? What do you want me to say?
Oh, no, I wasn't sure what you were, but just what, also a fun cameo that I noticed was MC Gusto's dad was also the same actor that played Leslie Barnes in Die Hard 2, which was the main assistant guy under Trudeau in the airport. I thought it was fun to see him in another role because I hadn't seen him in any other movies before. So that was cool to see.
Yeah.
But, and Mary Jane from Half Baked. It was good to see her.
There you go. That's something I forgot about as well. Now, if you guys don't mind, I want to go into one of my favorite jokes of it, and we can get into that, or favorite liners. I know usually that we talk about this beforehand so we don't steal anybody else's, but we'll see. This is going to be fun here. So I died laughing because I work as a courier when MC Gusto gets on the 110 to avoid the real Gusto. I ain't going there. The fact that they're able to do the rest of the interview on the 110 in traffic made me I was laughing for 2 minutes straight because that's my every day. So bravo. That was my favorite. What about your guys's?
Oh, it hands down. There's the whole scene is fantastic, but there is a intimate lovemaking scene, and there's a moment he busts out tools to take off the brassiere of the woman he's with, and when the saw came out, I died.
Todrick?
All right, see, this has been a hard one for me because I've been trying to pick one, but I was a huge fan of this movie. I remember having to travel to go see it because it wasn't like local. By travel, I had to go from Anaheim to Orange, but it was a bigger deal back then. I had to get a ride. I had to go farther than the close theater, so it was a big deal. But it was funny because when the movie opened, like, legitimately everyone in the theater was singing along with the Dougie Fresh Slick Rick song that opens up the movie. So it was a pretty fan interactive experience in Orange. But like nailing a first line, I don't know. Cause for me, it's the music, the parody stuff in that is what's hysterical.
Yeah. That's why I called when I went into this. I wanted to say what like our favorite jokes were over lines because there was more of a joke rather like it was a setup of a bunch of jokes rather than a ton of one-liners.
Yeah. So one of my favorite little bits, which is not even one you'll see unless you wait till the credits are done. And that is a callback to I'm going to get you sucker where him and Isaac Hayes are haggling over like that. And the original would have been a rib, but we bring that back, which I thought was awesome.
Okay. I'm going to get you sucker is on the list because ooh. I have not seen that. So when I saw that scene at the end of the credits, I was like, huh, interesting. And especially since I saw Isaac Hayes' name as the owner, I was like, now maybe I forgot something. Was that owner, did he have a spot in any place else in that movie?
No, it's just that.
That's why I was like, Isaac Hayes, did I miss? I thought I would remember him. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll pick one more because it's one that it really made me laugh. There's all the cameos from gangster rappers and other people. Mm-hmm. But the one where an Eazy-E is like, you need to cut that shit. It's too long. When he was known for his Jerry curl, every time I still die.
100%. Also the CNC Music Factory parody made me bust up laughing as well.
Like, yeah.
It's
CNC / MC Hammer. It's pretty
right. With it, obviously, but like I think CNC hit more with me because the voice,
the music, and the music
and the lady as well.
Yeah, because it was the combo. Okay, now since we're talking about the music, this is just tells you I'm kind of a yeah.
Sure.
Okay, here's the CD.
Awesome.
They're literally right above me, so I grabbed it. But
did you have to travel to pick up the CD?
No, I did not. But I did have to go to I want to say Walmart for this one. This is the clean version. See?
But they both have parental advisory on?
Oh, well, no, that's the poster.
I see.
So that one has it. Now, the difference is there's different versions of the song, like Sweat From My Balls, for example. There's a different version as a clean version, but they, like, throughout the movie, they combine both versions. So being obsessive, then I got both. Plus, right. I get to play Sweat From My Balls with my mom in the room. So what was Oh, one more tidbit since we're talking about the music. MC Gusto was rap voiced by Hi-C, who was you know, pretty big at the time. And then Dead Mike was Daddy-O. Jeez, sorry.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned a few days ago, we were talking about this, that you had trivia about this movie.
Or not necessarily trivia, more facts.
Or like more like interesting facts about the movie.
Well, I gave quite a few just there. I mean, a lot of the cameo stuff, I don't think, you know. Because see, that's the thing. You guys weren't into this genre. This wasn't like your whole world and stuff. But I mean, like, you can see the, like, this was the closest thing to an actual NWA movie we had back then, because MC Gusto was 100% modeled after Eazy-E. Dead Mike is pretty much MC Ren with a little Dr. Dre. And what was the DJ's name? How come I can't think of it the right
DJ's
now?
DJ's name.
In the movie. Stabmaster Arson.
Right.
Was basically modeled off of DJ Yella. So there's lots of parallels and in jokes. Did anyone catch the alien?
Did anyone
catch alien?
Alien.
Okay. Well, there's a little joke if you guys pay attention. Was it the 101? There, if you're watching in the credits and they're showing like just stuff, there's a shot with the alien driving by and it like looks at the camera. And it's like looks like Alien from the movie.
Oh, nice.
I don't recall seeing that. Maybe I freaked out and thought it was like a real alien. So I was like,
I don't want to remember this.
There's a lot of stuff if you watch the cars in the background in that movie.
On the freeway, I noticed that as well. Like each time there was a different, you know, which also, you know, I laughed. I had a great joy watching as well, because that is usually the case. I'm the guy that always yells, like, we're going in one direction. Why are we stopped? I'm that guy. So
the big ass biscuit was pretty funny too.
Excuse me?
The big ass biscuit. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that massive thing of butter.
It's so good.
It actually reminded me of the pantry in downtown LA, down the street from the Staples Center, where they always give you, I mean, it's not like that, but they always give you like a giant loaf of bread, obviously to split, but that was the kind of place it reminded me of. So I'll get into the ratings right now. If you guys didn't have anything else to add.
I do want to, here's one other trivia bit. The spiritual advisor was also in Rocky IV. He was Tommy Gunn's manager. Tommy Gunn?
That is Rocky V.
Oh, did I say four? I meant five. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Sorry.
What?
I'm 5/4, but that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, it is going to be. Maybe that'll be some sort of a special, because that's not anything farcical. Because a farce is, I want to talk about a good movie when we're having this program. And Rocky V was not a good movie. So I'd be more than happy to have a special. Why Todd thinks Rocky V is better than 4? What? And the reason I'm moving away from my microphone is because I don't want to blow out the microphone there. So because that's a lot of. What the fuck, man? Pardon my language. Jeez. Rocky 5 over 4.
Four is just like that patriotic overdone. Same reason I don't like First Blood Part 2.
I wouldn't know. I've not seen Rocky 4 or 5.
I don't think I can be mad at you for that. But going I back, Todd, when you said you prefer 1 over 2 or you didn't like 2, I would agree that 1 is better than 2, Rambo. Right?
But when I was
Rambo
a kid, I love 2, but now all I see
2
is like
all about the action. 1 was about an actual
story. It's a propaganda film if you really want to get down to it, just like Rocky 4.
We totally sidetracked.
I know we totally did, but whatever.
Now, I mentioned I was going to get to the rating, and as much as I enjoyed the movie, I think towards the end there was some moments that just kind of knocked me out. I guess like kind of just not knocked me out, but rather like.
Don't hold back just, on my account.
No. I'm not. It just kind of at least like seemed like a simple ending. And I'll just leave it at that. Like it just kind of seemed like, oh, all right. Like, I guess if you can say that's the way it ends, sure. Because I'm not looking for like a serious dramatic movie. This is a movie about jokes. But at the same time, those 5-star ratings are reserved for films, I think, that can be a good movie without the comedy. And that's where I'd have to mark this as a comedy, still very good and entertaining. And I would put it at a 4 for me in terms of my enjoyment level of the moments, humorous moments that I experienced and the pacing in which that it wasn't, they weren't few and far between. So a 4 out of 5 for me. How about you guys?
I'm going to let you have the last word since that one's this is your movie. So, you know, sadly for me, I want to give some perspective. Some of the references didn't hit home for me because I was 9 when this movie came out. You know, it didn't resonate nostalgia-wise for me as much. The jokes I thought were good. The movie as a just story was very fun, very enjoyable. I enjoyed that of it. But it just after what we've just seen, we really had some knock it out of the park comedy. It's hard to follow up on the last few movies we've watched. I just felt it did fall short, and I'm gonna have to give this one a 2.5. If it were just the movie, a 3. But just comedy wise, if I'm rating more of a comedy movie, it had moments, but it was more about the story for me. And I think one of the reasons why it wrapped up the way it did, Ozzy, is movies were so much shorter back then, you know, compared to now where a 2.5-hour movie is par for the course, you know. So, but yeah, I sadly have to say it's a 2.5.
Right. Well, I actually, it's funny. Ozzy's higher than I expected him to be. So,
poor choice of words,
or perfect choice of words.
It depends on your perspective. I'm a 4.5. It's not perfect. I agree. The ending is underwhelming, but I mean that's the way it was going to end, no matter what you did. But that should have been a bigger thing, like not just like in the small. It should have been bigger. But that set aside, this movie was made for me at the time. Like every joke hits where I know you guys like a lot of stuff didn't. So yeah, I've been a fan forever. There's another one. This is the definitive hip hop Spinal Tap. There's a few others, gangster rap, a mockumentary, still kind of funny. The music's great in that one, but and then there's Fear of a Black Hat, another really probably the second biggest, but those aren't for everyone. By everyone, I mean you two might not like those.
Now, I just want to get a point, make a point across about some of the references that Todd you mentioned that didn't really hit home with me. Like Greg, you brought them up. For me, while they didn't, I didn't immediately hit. It didn't really hit with me at first. And this is just my perspective on it, is that because I'm so familiar with Spinal Tap, and I understand like that, you know, like certain references, like with Eazy-E and the hair, like when you said he was known for that, like I wasn't for sure, but I knew that each, like Ice-T doing his thing and all these guys doing up, like it's like I'm using the translation like of, oh, this is what they're trying to do, you know, by like it's more that I appreciated it because while I didn't understand, I didn't catch the references, it felt like a real documentary, and just it was fun to see these guys play into it. And so, go ahead.
Now, since we haven't put him over, but I love Chris Elliott too, and he's funny as always.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Chris Elliott. Actually, it was funny to see him. I hadn't seen him in a movie or anything in a very long time. And every now and then my DVR will, it'll record a show, and sometimes Modern Family will be after it, and I'll see Jesse Tyler Ferguson. And when I was watching Chris Elliott, I kept thinking like that Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family seems a lot like Chris Elliott, or rather, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if there's some sort of relation there or whatnot, but it was just funny to see that. But yeah, well, I enjoyed it, and it's available on HBO Max, so you can check it out. I recommend it.
What was your score, though?
Did you say your score? I said it was a 4. I thought I said
no. Todd.
Oh, I said no. I almost said 5. I said 4.5. Realistically,
okay. And it's underwhelming movie. was the word I think I was looking for earlier. It wasn't an underwhelming ending. Yeah. I would have, to your point, I would have expected something bigger. So hope you enjoyed this episode, but we will be back next week. We're going to watch another film. And you know what? We're one day going to figure out what the future. Actually, we are coming up on Thanksgiving soon. We have one movie next week that we'll have. And then following that, we're going to follow it up with Dutch, starring Ed O'Neill, because it's a Thanksgiving movie. And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the episode right before Thanksgiving, because that, I think, is the ultimate.
I'll have a rant when we get to that, too.
Oh, teaser.
Yeah.
We could clip that and use it as a teaser trailer. Coming soon to Flesh Wound Farce. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The take you never knew you had. All right. Greg, Todd, anything else you want to say before we head out?
No, it was fantastic, but I think I need to go find a buzzsaw. So.
All righty.
I'd like to say something clever.
And there we have it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for Greg, Todd, I'm Ozzy, and we'll see you next week for Flesh Wound Farce. Have a good night.